not only we, but the angels and the hosts of angels in heaven, they are also rejoicing. So now we have a continuing job of praying for our dear brother so that he may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So congratulations, brother, and welcome back to the body of Christ. Welcome. So for our meditation this Sunday morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter. We'll continue with our study from the Epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2. We are going to read one verse, and that is verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Shall we read this verse together, please? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now may the Lord bless this word and add his blessings for his name's sake. Now if you remember, the last time I spoke from that same verse, and the subject of my message was the reality of a pilgrim life. We have seen several aspects of Christian pilgrimage. And one of the aspects of Christian pilgrimage is a life of sanctification. So we have seen from the life and character of Abraham. Abraham had to separate himself from many things in this world. He has to separate himself from his country, from his kindred, and more importantly, from his own father. We know that when he came from a place called Ur, he was stranded in a place called Haran. Now we have seen Haran speaks about dryness. Now sometimes we see that spiritual dryness in the life of a Christian and in the life of a believer. Now because of that, he could not progress in his Christian life until the death of Terah, the father of Abraham. Terah represents an idolater, a person who worships idols. As long as he was with Abraham, Abraham could not progress in his Christian life. And we see that it was only after the death of his father Terah, and then Abraham leaves Haran, we see in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord speaks to Abraham again. And he makes a promise and a blessing to Abraham that he is going to bless him, and through his seed, all the nations are going to be blessed. Now, this is what Peter was reminding the suffering saints in verse 11. And he is telling them, and he calls them as beloved, and he reminds them as sojourners and pilgrims. As strangers or sojourners, we are away from home. But as pilgrims, we are going home. In other words, this world is not our home. We have seen how Abraham identified himself with building altars and living in tents. Isn't it? So, Peter reminds these saints, his readers, about their identity in Christ. We have seen in verse 9, he reminded them that they were a chosen generation. He reminded them they were a royal priesthood. They were a holy nation. And they were a special people. And then he tells in verse 10 that they were the people of God. Once they were not the people of God, but now they have become the people of God. And then in verse 11, he calls them as a beloved of God. And not only that, he calls them as pilgrims and sojourners. Now in the light of that, Peter says, because you are pilgrims and sojourners, you have to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now that is my subject this morning, to abstain from fleshly lusts. Now we are living in a day where flesh is exalted. Lust is honored. A man's worth is determined by how much wealth he has. His worth is determined by his fame, by his position, by the money that he has. But God does not see that. And Peter is reminding the believers to the saints, and he is talking about the dangers of the fleshly lusts. And he tells them to abstain from fleshly lusts. There are two words in this. One is the word lust. Another is the word flesh. Now the word lust comes from the Greek word epithumia, which means it is an excessive desire, or it's a craving for anything which gratify the senses. It is sensualism. Now, the word flesh, it comes from the Greek word sarkikos, which is our depraved nature. It is our human nature that is corrupted by sin. It is our sinful nature. It is the Adamic nature that you and I have inherited from our fathers. Now, when these fleshly desires or fleshly passions, when we crave for them or when we glut our senses, it becomes indulgence. And that is sinful. Now, desire itself is not wrong. But when that desire becomes a craving, and when we glut our senses, and that is evil and sinful before God. And that is the fleshly desires that Peter is reminding us to abstain. It is rightly said, the father of sin is the devil, and the mother of sin is the lust. And that's why Peter says, abstain. That word abstain means to deliberately withdraw from, to stay away from. We need to make a conscious decision to be away from this fleshly lust. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. Now, these lusts can be love for money. These lusts can be love for power, love for position, love for wealth, love for fame. There are so many things. Now, these lusts for flesh are manifested as works of flesh. Now, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and you read from verse 19, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 19, he talks about the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. There are so many other things that Peter does not name, Paul does not name, of which I tell you beforehand, just I also told you in the prime part, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we also see in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Now Peter says, you need to abstain from this fleshly lust. Why? He gives a reason there in verse 11. He says, because they war against the soul. That war is in present tense. That means it is a continuous warfare. It is a continuous battle. It is a long campaign. There is a teaching that is going on in the world today. And it is a wrong teaching. It is a false teaching. And that teaching is that when a person believes in Jesus Christ, he is free from all struggles, from all problems. His Christian life will be hunky-dory. Everything will be all right. But that is not what the scripture says. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the day you have become a child of God, God places you on a battlefield. If you see Abraham, when God called Abraham out of Ur, life was not easy for him. He was in a place of famine. We have to fight battles. It is not a one-time battle, but the scripture says it is a continuous battle till we leave this world and be in the presence of the Lord. Paul reminds Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. So as Christians, we are in a constant battle. And that's why Peter says, abstain from these fleshly lusts because they war against your soul. Why nations go to war against another nation? It is not just to meet in the battlefield and say, hello, how are you, and then walk off. The motive is to destroy the enemy, to kill the enemy. War kills people. In the same way, these lusts of the flesh, these passions, these desires, they war against your soul. That word soul in Greek is psyche, which refers to our will, our emotions, and especially our mind. These are the three areas that the devil will use to make them as a battleground. Am I right? These are the three areas in our life that are battlegrounds. We battle in our minds, with our emotions, with our will. That's why before we were saved, we had only one nature. It was flesh. It was a sinful nature. It was a depraved nature. But when we believed in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord came to us to dwell in our lives. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 that we were partakers of divine nature. He says, through this you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, because we have an old nature, we have a new nature, they are opposite to each other. There is a constant battle in our lives. That's what Paul says in Galatians. If you see in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. See what he says. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Have you seen that? There is a constant battle that is going on in our lives between the old nature and the new nature. The new nature always wants to take over our lives. The new nature wants to harm us. The old nature wants to go against the new nature, that is against the will of God. But the Spirit of the Lord asks us to do what is right, to go according to the will of God. If you see in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, this is the battle that Paul was fighting. And he says in verse 20, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and in bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Have you seen that? Now, either we need to submit to the flesh, or we need to submit to the Spirit of God, to our new nature. It depends to which side we go, whether we side with the old nature or we side with the new nature. Now, how many times Paul reminds in his epistles? In Colossians chapter 3, he says, you put off that old nature and put on the new man. It is like stripping off our old clothes, and you need to put on this new clothes, this new man. We also see that in Ephesians chapter 4 from verses 22 to 24. Put off the old man and put on this new man and renew, be renewed. Now, why does Peter say that we need to abstain from fleshly lusts? Now, the scriptures give at least 7 reasons of the dangers of this fleshly lust. The first reason we see is the character of its nature. The character of the lust of the flesh, it is evil and it is corrupt. Now, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, and mark that two words, evil desire. Have you seen that? Why this lust of the flesh are evil? Why the lust of the flesh is corrupt? It is because they go against the will of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, there is nothing good in me, and in the bracket it says, in the flesh. Now these fleshly desires, these fleshly passions, they are evil because they go against the will of God. They dishonor God. They hurt God. When David sinned with Bathsheba, Prophet Nathan comes to David and he says, you are that man. And then if you see 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you see 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9. This is what Prophet Nathan says. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. That sin that David committed, an adultery with Bathsheba, and killed the Hittite, the murderer, it was evil in the sight of the Lord. That is how the lust of the flesh is manifested. If you also turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. And verse 7. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why did you commit this great evil against yourself, to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant, out of Judah, leaving none to remain? What was the evil that the children of Israel have committed? It was the sin of idolatry. This started when they went to Egypt. They started worshipping these idols. It was astonishing to God. It was abhorring to God. And God calls it as evil. That's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. As believers, we need to be careful. Now, you may tell me that I do not worship any idols, but today, people are worshipping themselves. People are worshipping celebrities as their gods. This is called as humanism. What a sad thing, isn't it? They say that you yourself is a god. You have that power inside. What a tragedy it is that people are worshipping worthless things of this world. And that's why we see in Romans chapter 1, you know, they made idols out of their imaginations. They thought that God will be like this. And they made it with their hands and started worshipping it. And the following verses, if you see, it's very sad. It says, God gave them up. If there is anything that is tragic that is in the life of a person, when God gives up on a person, and that person will continue in that lust, and that will ultimately lead him to his own destruction. So that is the first thing that we see about the fleshly lust. The nature of the character of it is evil. It is evil in its nature. Let's come to the second thing. Not only it is evil in its nature, but these lusts of flesh, they are deceitful in their influence as well. See the influence of this fleshly lust. They are deceitful. If you turn with you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Have you seen that? According to the deceitful lust. What is deception? It is a misrepresentation of truth. It makes people believe that something is true when it is not. Here in that verse 4:22, that was our former conduct. Now what Paul says is, once you have become a Christian, leave those lusts behind. Those attitudes, those habits and those values and those actions before you were born again. Because we have walked according to the lusts of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And then he says, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. These lusts of pleasures, these lusts, they promise pleasure, but they deliver pain. They promise satisfaction, but they deliver sorrow. They promise bright future, but they deliver a blighted future. If you see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, the first sin on the planet was committed by Eve. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Eve was deceived by whom? By Satan. She fell for the devil's lies. She began to question the very word of God. It was the very word of God that was her protection. And once she began to doubt the word of God, that protection was removed. And what happened? She immediately fell into sin. That is how the devil deceives. Today, we also see this kind of deception even through preachers, through false teachers as well. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. How tragic it is that today when people preach through the lusts of the flesh, they lure people, telling them that if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you follow Christ, everything will be okay. You will become rich. You will not be in poverty. These are the false teachers. They are luring people through the lusts of the flesh. And that's why Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 79, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So the influence of this fleshly lust, they are deceitful. Let's come to the third point. Now if you see the origin of these lusts, they are inborn. Or they are within. They originate from within. They are existing from our birth. The origin of these lusts, they have its place in our very heart. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And also Jude chapter 1 and verse 16. Jude 1:16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And also 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. It is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, please. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Now these desires are not planted by the devil. Remember that one. They are already there within me. They are already there within me. Satan will tempt us. Satan can only tempt us to follow these desires through the world. That's why James chapter 1 and verse 14 says, each one when he is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desire. See the progress of sin in the life of a believer or in a person. First, it begins in human nature, that is the lust. Then it develops in our mind, that is the evil thoughts. And thus, it is expressed in our actions. It is expressed in our actions. So these lusts of the flesh, they are already there within us. It is the devil who provokes them. That is the third thing that we see. The origin of it. The source of it. It is within me. It is inborn. Let's see the fourth reason the scriptures tells us about the dangers of this fleshly lust. The fourth reason is they manifest in variety. They manifest themselves in various kinds. If you see in Romans chapter 7 and verse 8. Romans 7:8. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desires. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Have you seen that? Again, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts. Have you seen that? Various lusts or various passions. Now many times we limit this sin or fleshly lust to sexual pleasures or sexual sins, but it is not. The devil displays in varieties of ways. That's why we see in Titus 3:3 that word diverse. It comes from the Greek word poikilos, which means many colored or variegated. We are living in a world where we love variety, right? If we go for shopping, we like variety. We want to see different shades of colors, right? When we went to Jerusalem, we stayed in a hotel. And for morning breakfast and for dinner, they served as buffet. And there were varieties of foods, at least 10 to 15 desserts. More than 20 dishes, you know. And it was so colorful, it was from this end to this end, you know, all food. People were coming, they were taking, they were tasting, they're just throwing it off. Because it's all free. Because it was appealing to the eyes. I very well remember way back in Hyderabad, the place where I come from, before Christmas comes, you know, we have to do shopping, right? And especially with the ladies, you know. You know, I used to go with my sister and even my wife, you know, to buy a good sari for Christmas. Because that's the time where we used to buy new clothes. And the moment you enter the shop, that fellow will offer a chair and ask us to sit. And, you know, and the first thing we say is, can you show us some of the latest trends? You know? And that guy will go and he will bring 10 saris. And he will just open and he put them before. But we are still not satisfied. You say, is there any other color, you know? And that man, he goes and he brings another 20 of them. And he spreads them, you know? Finally, before you purchase, the half the shop will be on the floor. Am I right? Because it is appealing to the eyes. And you know, when they show so much of variety, we are confused as to what to pick. And you know what? The devil has a variety of evil passions in which he can indulge you and me. There are a variety of them. And each color, he can show many shades as well. And he says, sir, have you seen this? This is very effective nowadays. Did you try this new product that has come into the market? Now, what is it? It is hatred. It is bitterness. It works very well, sir. You can harbor that bitterness in your life. You can put a big smile outside. This is what the devil does. It looses. Flesh has a big family. That's what we have read in Galatians chapter 5. And verse 19, and also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, they manifest in variety. And fifthly, we'll see the appearance of them. They are enticing. If you turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Have you seen that? The word entice means to attract or tempt. It refers to luring and catching by the use of bait or a trap. Do you know how they catch fishes? They put a bait on the hook and the fish can't see the hook. It only rotates around the bait and finally it bites and it is trapped. And it is dragged to the shore, nicely filleted and eaten, finished, gone. And that is what this fleshly lust does. It entices us. It looses. Satan sows a thought in our mind and immediately the lust responds. Satan plants temptation alongside lust. And what happens? Germination takes place. And the situation is right for conception. Now, when does that conception happen? When the will gets involved. When the will gets involved, impregnation takes place. Lust conceives and sin is born. And that sin leads to death. That's what James says in James chapter 1 and verse. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And then he says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The first temptation in the garden illustrates this. Now, what does the devil do? Satan draws Eve's attention to the tree. And he persuades Eve to listen. And once Eve started listening to Satan, her mind was engaged in the wrong thoughts. But we also see her desires were quickened. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Mark those words. The tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. The very forbidden fruit now has become desirable. It has become appealing. It has become attractive. And that is what the flesh does. And that's why James says, do not be deceived. Peter says, abstain from these fleshly lusts. Why? Because they entice you. That is the fifth thing that we see. They are enticing. And sixthly, the pleasures of lust are fleeting. The pleasures of lust are only for a short time. Yes, they give you pleasures. They give you enjoyment. But it is only for a short time. If you see 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse. We'll read from verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Mark that verse. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. There is no real pleasure in these things. It is foolishness to invest in something that is simply fleeting. Because one day we have to leave everything. One day we have to die. We have to remember the ultimate statistic. One out of one dies. That word passing away in 1 John chapter 2, 17 is in a present tense. And is in the process of passing away. What happened to the earth's greatest cities? They did not last. What happened to Rome with her ancient glory? It is gone. What happened to Babylon with its hanging gardens? It's gone. What happened to Athens with its all learning? It's gone. When you see the patriarchs in the Old Testament, especially the life of Abraham and Jacob, they lived as pilgrims and sojourners in this world. How do we know that? Because they lived in tents and they were identified by altars. Jacob was identified with his staff. Even in the closing moments of his life, he called his family members. The scripture says in book of Hebrews 11 that he leaned on his staff and he blessed his children and he also worshiped the Lord. That speaks about his life. That he was a pilgrim and a sojourner. Unlike Cain, his attitude to the world, who stands contrast because he was cursed by God. And he says, fugitive and vagabond he was. Because he founded the world system. And that world will one day pass away along with the lust. The pleasures of lust are only for a moment and they are fleeting. And finally, we'll see the effect of this fleshly lust. They are dangerous and destructive. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We have also seen in our text, 1 Peter 2:11, they war against our soul, that means to destroy our life. Now in this context, Paul is writing to Timothy. The love of money leads people to many harmful desires. It leads to selfishness. It leads to fraud. It leads to robbery. It leads to hatred. It leads to violence. It leads to murder. Materialism is a breeding ground for thousands of other sins. We can oppress the poor. We can involve in a dishonest transactions just because we are controlled by the flesh. And that's why Paul writes to Timothy, it will drown you. The word that is used is plunge, sinking. The love of money will drown you eternally. That's why in that same chapter, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, he says, flee these things. It is this lust of the flesh that is harmful, that is dangerous, and that is destructive. If you see in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 7, there was a man by name Achan. And the children of Israel were defeated by the enemy, that is Ai. They could not prevail over Ai. And they were all wailing and crying before the Lord. And the Lord said, why did you commit this transgression? And he pointed at Achan and his family. And finally, when he was filtered out, Joshua asked Achan, what did you do? And Achan said, I desire. What did he desire? I desired that Babylonish garment, the 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold. And what happened? He and his family were killed in the valley. It was that very desire, that fleshly lust, that brought an end and destruction to his life. If you see in the life of Elisha, Elisha had a servant. Do you know what is his name? His name is Gehazi. And you know what? When Naaman, the Syrian king, general, he was having leprosy. He had a problem in his body. So he was told by his maid to go to Jerusalem and the prophet can heal. So he comes to Elisha and Elisha heals him. He tells him to dip in the river Jordan for 7 times. And then he was healed. And immediately he wanted to offer gifts to Elisha. And Elisha refused those gifts. But his servant kept an eye on those gifts. And he ran after the chariot. And immediately they saw this servant Gehazi. And the chariot was stopped. And the general asked, is everything okay? Yeah, everything is okay. You know, some visitors have come to see the prophet. And you know, he wanted to give some gifts to them.
So what do you want?
So he gave him not one. I need some garments, Babylonish garments or whatever it may be. And then one talent of silver. But that man gave him 2 talents of silver. Oh, he was so happy, Gehazi. He took them and hid it somewhere. And he stood beside his master as if nothing has happened. And Elisha asked him, Gehazi, where were you? No, master, I have been here only. Did not my spirit go with you when you went after the chariot? Is it the time for money? Is this the time for olive groves and all? He says, the very leprosy of Naaman can come to you. Gehazi became a leper. It was that very selfish desire, that lust, that fleshly passion that destroyed his life. If you see in the book of Numbers 11, when the children of Israel were in the desert, there were mixed multitudes. They were complaining to Moses and they were telling, we need meat. We want to eat meat. When we were in Egypt, we had this, we had that, we had variety. But what in this wilderness? We are just having manna. We can't eat manna. Every day white rice, who is going to eat? That was their complaint. And you know what? God heard their complaint. And he gave them quails. And the scripture says, while the meat was, I don't want to read because we don't have time, they lusted after meat. And when the flesh was in their mouth, God stung them and they died. And you know that place is called as Kibroth Hattawa, which means graves of cravings. Graves of, you might not have heard before like that, isn't it? We don't hear anything, graves of cravings, isn't it? But it is just because of their lust. They all died. And that is what the flesh of lust does. The end is destruction. Now let me ask you this question, and let me ask myself this question. What wrong or inappropriate thing are you tempted to do? Is it financial? Is it moral? Or is it interpersonal? You may be thinking you can taste a little bit of sin and get away with that. You won't. You can't. Because once you open a door for the flesh, it will try to take care, control of your life. And finally, that desire will be controlling your life and it will be leading you to destruction. And that's why they are, in effect, they are destructive. They are harmful and they are dangerous. It is very interesting to know how the Eskimos kill the wolves. It is a bit, you know, gross in the sense they use a sharp knife and they apply blood to that knife. And they allow it to freeze. Then again they apply another coat of blood on it. And finally, that sharp knife becomes very thick and they stick it in the ground and leave it. The wolf in the night comes smelling that blood. And it comes near that knife. It starts licking that knife. It may be thinking, wow, wonderful biryani, you know. It's very tasty, very nice. It will be going on licking. And finally, that licking continues till morning. But the wolf doesn't know it is licking its own blood. And finally, it loses all its blood because its tongue is split and it dies. And that is what the lust of the flesh does. So that's why Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts because you are pilgrims and strangers And the next verse says, because the world is also watching. The unbelievers are watching as well. There is a challenge, brothers and sisters. It is not easy. It is not easy. I don't have time to tell how we can overcome this temptation. How we can overcome the flesh and live a victorious life. But may the Lord help us. As we continue in this world, these temptations, attractions are very real. And if we are not careful, and if we are not going to make a deliberate choice and say, no, I'm not going to give in to this temptation. Otherwise, they will harm and they will wage a war against your soul, and finally they destroy. May God bless this one.